So, hi everyone, this is Benjamin from Sports Tech X. Today I have the pleasure to talk to Thomas from the Global Sports Technology Awards, GSTA. It's a network that recognizes and celebrates excellence in data, digital and technology across the sports, media, entertainment, health and technology landscape. It's a very new initiative and I'm very curious to find out more about it. It's a global event series and I'm sure that Thomas can speak a lot about it. So let's welcome him to the show. Hi, Thomas. How are you?
Good, thanks, Benjamin. Glad to join you and talk about the Global Sports Technology Awards.
Yes, very pumped about this. But before we come to the GSTA, we want to know a little bit about you as a person. So maybe you can tell us what you've done in the past and what you're doing now.
Yeah, well, I guess starting from the past and what feels like a former life, in terms of where I am now, I am now head of EMEA in North America for Vumero. So it's a leader in sports technology, businesses and networks. So we've got a diverse portfolio of events, conference series, training camps, things like that, some investments. So we also help accelerating startups, distribution, e-commerce, and we also have a content platform. But basically our aim is building the global sports technology community. So that's where I am now. Also global director of the Sports Analytics World Series as part of that, and the Sports Tech Awards, Global Sports Technology Awards. So that's where I am now. Before that, I studied law. So I came from a very different background. I also did an honors thesis in lone wolf terrorism. So I worked in Congress in the US for a little bit. I'm an Aussie. I'm Australian. I live in London. Split my time between the UK, the US, and basically did a lot of kind of different things. As I said, law, politics, kind of international relations, all that kind of stuff. Secret squirrel business around terrorism and national security, and found myself in sports tech because it's really where I had a passion. It's where I felt at home and something that I really enjoyed, basically bringing people together in the community. So that's where I'm now and exciting to kind of build a future in it.
Cool. Very diverse background. And I don't know if I can say that. It sounds like you are like a true global citizen, like being all over the world, sort of.
Yeah.
And let's state one thing before we talk about the GSTAs. I'm sure your events are safe with your background in terrorism and all the other things. So you know how to make an event safe, I think.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's exactly. It's not something that comes up in conversation a lot, but it's, yeah, I think the whole behavioral studies thing and studying that also means that it resets your expectations for kind of what a bad day looks like, I guess.
Yeah, I can imagine. But I guess that's a totally completely different podcast episode on that topic.
Yes, yeah, we'll stick with the sports tech. How about that?
Yeah, that's my favorite topic anyway, so let's speak about that. So the Global Sports Technology Awards have been announced like, I don't know, like a couple months ago or even weeks, I'm not even sure. Maybe you can give us a little overview about them. So what's the history, how did you come up with the idea, and what is the whole topic or network about?
Yeah, well, I mean, as you said in the intro, the kind of the whole ethos of them is about celebration and recognition. For companies and individuals working in data, digital technology across the full spectrum of sports and everything that comes across that. So obviously media, the kind of entertainment, health, and then performance side as well. So we came up with the concept in Australia, which is where I'm originally from, and we ran the Australia, New Zealand specific awards. So really targeting companies that are headquartered in that region. So the way it is the Global Sports Technology Awards is a global network, and then they have specific regional events that have that focus, and we can talk about that a little bit later. But basically looking at that and going, well, we run this global series of conferences, which is great for thought leadership and having that opportunity for people to share their knowledge. But a conference like that doesn't have the opportunity to go into depth for what people are doing, and then giving a platform to recognize that. Because, I mean, the same as compliments, you can say, you know, you're the smartest person in the room, but if that's coming out of your mouth, well, one, people don't believe you, and two, you look arrogant, conceited, whatever else. But this is going, no, we want to celebrate you if you are doing some amazing things. And there are companies doing amazing things out there, and that's something that in my role, kind of bringing the community together, I'm sure you see it as well, is there's so much stuff that kind of comes across your desk and you go, wow, this is fantastic. You know, I was having a call with a Dutch company this morning that did something for Tennis Australia, for instance, you know, and the really interesting stuff. And it's kind of that hearing about all these things and you go, well, the world kind of needs to know about this because it's an opportunity for them to be recognized, but then also that serves as inspiration for other people in the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive a bit into the event or award format in general. I was wondering what exactly we can expect from the awards. So are they like this typical online award? Is it an offline award? What's the time frame? Do they all have the same format? As you said, it's a global initiative happening on different countries. So what can people expect from those awards?
Yeah, definitely. So as you said, it's a global network with a local focus. And I think that's something that's really different about them and kind of unique. Because there are various other awards and industry awards. Some might focus on a particular sport, for instance, soccer, football in Europe, and it's only open to those companies, or it might be something that's all around the world, but then smaller companies can kind of get lost in the mix of that. So really we're about a global network with local focus. So the way that that's structured is that you have an online application process and then a final awards dinner. So basically online application, open to anyone and everyone. So businesses, technologists, universities, athletes, engineers, you know, properties like stadiums, organizations, anyone in the creation application of sports technology with also a particular focus on startups. So open to that. And then we partner with industry experts in each region to reduce that down to a finalist awards group. And then we have a awards dinner where basically everyone comes together, really nice dinner, and the winners are announced in person on stage. So again, they get up. It's another great way to celebrate them, recognize them, and then that happens in each area. So and also in terms of the regions, so we obviously have the Australia and New Zealand. We've just launched one in Europe. We've got one in Canada and one in India, with one looking to grow in Japan as well. So it's supported by the Sports Technology and Analytics World Series. So we've got, you know, the best industry speakers, the best practitioners, and then grouping this together with the awards night is you've already got everyone there. You've already got the who's who coming to this event. So then going, well, while you're here, why don't you celebrate these companies? So that's another great way that it brings people together.
Understand. So the startups, if I got it right, they are selected before this award dinner is happening, and then they are presented on stage and have a good evening with what you call the who's who in sports and tech.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So it's one of those things as well. It's important for us that startups, just as with the other companies, acknowledge it on the night rather than doing it kind of like, you know, it's like, what is it, the Oscars, where there was a big controversy recently because they were going to announce some of the awards during ad breaks and they were going to announce what it happened. And you go, well, doesn't that just defeat the purpose of the whole thing? It should be everyone should get that spotlight. And also, you know, a little bit of suspense doesn't hurt, where we don't actually announce the winners until the night. So you've got the handful of finalists that get invited, and then they don't know if they're going to win. And when it's revealed, it's that celebration, and the startups or the companies get to come on stage and really get the glow of that. So
yeah, nice. And the good thing is no one will be disappointed on that evening because you only invite the winners. That's, I think that contributes to a good atmosphere as well.
We invite the finalists. So it's all the finalists. So that's the point. Sorry. So it's the four or five finalists that are from the list, and then we announce the one winner on the night. So everyone's there. But
the finalists are basically also winners.
Exactly, yeah. Even reaching the final stage is makes you a winner, and you know, you get to have a nice dinner with some really interesting people. So
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's the most important part, being connected to good people, and probably doesn't even matter in the end if you are the ultimate winner or just amongst the finalists.
Yeah.
Cool. So yeah, let's speak a bit about your startup selection. What you said before sounded like you're not focusing on a specific sport, which is good. So you're very broad. Are there any like other criteria that you're looking for? Is it maybe a certain stage of the startup, certain technology, or is it very, very broad? And the second part of the question would be, how do you ultimately select the winners? Is it via this network that you just mentioned, the important people from the sports and tech industry, are they sort of the jury, or how that, does the process look like?
Yep. So we've got two specific awards categories for startups. So we've got a Fast Growth Award and then Emerging Sports Technologies Award. So Fast Growth is, again, as it kind of says in the title, does what it says on the box. Is for companies that have really had rapid growth in whatever field that is. And then Emerging Sports Technology Awards is looking at the most kind of innovative ones that are doing most interesting things. And then we've also got 8 awards categories. So they're Sports Analytics and Sports Data, Sports Performance and Coaching Technology, Sports Management Technology, Wearables and Smart Devices, Social and Fan Engagement, Sports Broadcasting and Media Technology, Esports, and then Stadium and Venue Technology. So they're also open to the startups as well, but we have those two specific categories for startups because it's really part of the ethos is building these companies up. So what we're looking for in terms of startups is businesses, not hobbies, is probably the biggest thing that I'd say there. So I think it was Mark Cuban that said that about unless you've got a replicable way to, you know, sell your product or your service, whatever it is, you've got a hobby, not a business. And we're interested in businesses. So obviously something that is solving a problem, you know, innovative, adding value there, but also can show that it's sustaining. And that doesn't necessarily mean it's got to be the billion-dollar idea or you've got to hit certain revenues. Not at all. It could be really, really early stage and you've just kind of got an MVP that actually shows that it works. It, you know, it solves the problem it's setting out to solve and fix, and that someone's willing to pay for that solution. So because ultimately that's what's going to grow it from a startup into a fully fledged company, and we're going to be able to enable it to build and everything around that.
Yeah, makes sense. And especially to start with these two categories, because they are completely different businesses, I would assume. Like you said, the growth ones and the emerging ones. So yeah, it's hard to compare them. So it's good to have them in two separate categories.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And really acknowledging that kind of judging it on its merits in terms of judging it on what stage it's at, where it's at, because you're going to be looking for very different metrics for success. And in terms of, I kind of didn't answer that part of the question, but who's actually judging that is, yes, we, through our global network, we get basically the best in the business to sit on a judging panel. And then it's really up to them to look through and see what they think is the best, because I'm certainly know that I don't know better than these incredible judges that we have. So it's really something that I kind of I assist with the process, but also defer to them. And also the important thing as well is they're chosen in each region. So the same way, as I said, it's got a global network but a local focus, is because they're going to know the industry as well. And they're going to know and be well connected as well, seeing, well, if you've got something, a company coming through claiming to do all these things, they might know, well, there's another company that's doing the same thing 10 times better. So really it's like, are you really adding the value there that you think you are? So that's a really kind of important part of the process.
Yeah, that's what many companies are looking for, and that is key for their acceleration, to be connected to the right people who have access to certain ecosystems, certain partners. And what you said with the global network, local focus makes a lot of sense in that context.
Yeah, definitely.
And actually, next question I wanted to ask is almost half answered, I would almost say, because it's about the benefits for the startups in this whole thing. But I guess it's kind of obvious, especially for the finalists and the winners, to be connected to great people, to have a good night, to get one-on-one discussions and talks there and just be promoted. Is that all, or is there anything that we missed in that context?
Yeah, I think that's probably the main benefit, and the kind of one that's probably the most intangible but the most important is that. I would also say around validation, and that's something that from a personal experience, I've also had that being, you know, building this World Series in terms of the conferences and platforms like this from the start. Is you think you're doing amazing things, you think you're really working hard at it, and you think it's good. And then to have that external industry validation is fantastic and really motivating. So I think that's really important for startups to know that what they're doing is building in the right direction, basically. So that's one part of it. Also, in terms of something a bit more tangible, is we also provide the winning startups with free support and access to exhibit at any of our Sports Analytics and Technology World Series conferences. So that's something a bit tangible that, you know, you can put a dollar value on that. That provides young companies with the direct access to a pool of potential investors, partners, and clients in those markets all over the world. So that's also not linked to which region they're in. So it could be a Canadian company that's trying to launch in Europe or in, you know, Japan, India, wherever it is, and we'll kind of help them come over and help them grow.
Yeah, sounds like a very attractive package, and I can imagine that they appreciate that a lot. Yeah, I think we got a very good overview of what you are doing with the GSTAs. Is there anything else that we missed or that we should know about your initiatives?
No, I think that's probably it. I would say just encourage people to apply and really kind of forward it through and really throw your hat in the ring. I think that's one thing that sometimes companies, and especially when we're talking about startups, will think, oh, I'm not quite there. I don't know if we're going to win, I don't know if I should put an application in at all, but you got to be in it to win it. So one of the things as well is we have these judges reading these applications. So think about that as well, is even if you're not necessarily the winner, is you're still going to get exposure just through applying to some pretty important industry heavyweights. So that's one thing I'd say as well. But, I mean, apart from that, about me, I'm an absolute tragic West Coast Eagles football fan, which is football for basically the 99% of the world that have no idea what that is. But that's probably a pretty good kind of circle back. We were talking about my background stuff is pretty good indication why I'm kind of in sports technology and building these communities. I flew home last year for the grand final, which is basically the Super Bowl of Australian rules football. So I spent 17 hours on a plane from London direct to Perth, and then got another plane for 5 hours. Arrived Friday night in Melbourne from London, watched the game on Saturday, and then I was back on a plane on Sunday to the US.
No way.
So I had about 24 hours in Australia, come in, my football team won, which was amazing, in the last 2 minutes as well. So I had a pretty elevated heart rate for that. And then back out to the US for running some more of our events. So
that's pretty amazing. A good story. And I'm happy that your team won and didn't lose, because otherwise that would have been a horrible, horrible trip probably.
Oh, that would have been, I don't even want to contemplate that.
But I have one last question about, before I have a super last question, one more question about the awards. So it would be interesting to know for which awards the applications are open right now, and what is the best way to find infos about the awards? Is it on your website, on your social channels? What do you think is the best way?
Yep. So probably the website is the best. So gstawards.com. And then it's got each regional one there. So we're just opening up the Canada Awards in the next couple of weeks. And same as the Australian Awards, and then the European Awards will be open next month. So there's also a pre-register button, so kind of link. So definitely click on that. Also socials. So Sports Technology and Analytics World Series has some kind of good information generally, and obviously the Global Sports Technology Awards. Probably LinkedIn is that in terms of connecting and seeing news coming through.
Cool. One very last question, circling back to you as a person, is about whether or not you have some sort of productivity hack, so something that helps you in your day-to-day life to be or stay productive. Is there anything that you want to share with us?
Again, following on from the thing about why I'm in sports technologies, is probably sports is my productivity hack. So exercise. So I do Ironman competitions. Which anyone who doesn't know is long distance triathlons. So it's a, and I'm going to work in kilometers, not miles, because miles make no sense. But sorry to our North American listeners. So it's a 3.8 kilometer swim, followed by 180 kilometer bike ride, and you finish with a full marathon, which is 42.2 kilometers. Yeah, so that's a bit of fun. But training for that, so I probably train about 15 to 20 hours a week on that, and kind of up each day pretty early. But really having that is as almost, it sounds very cliched and horrible, but that's the way I meditate, in the sense of if I go on a swim for an hour or a bike ride for a couple of hours or a run, it's one of those things that my kind of body's engaged and kind of doing what it's doing, so I'm not distracted, but that my mind's really free to just wander and chew things over and process. And it's really where you get the best creative breakthroughs, and kind of where you have the opportunity to do some really, really good kind of problem solving and basically think your way through issues. So then when you're back, you know, sitting in front of the laptop, you can really just focus on that and really work hard, and you're not kind of, your mind's not in a million different places. So that's, I guess that's my productivity hat. Again, people don't necessarily want to kill themselves doing an Ironman every so often. I understand that, but I would just say find whatever your version of meditation is. And for some people it might be, you know, going for a walk. It might be something like that. It might be playing computer games. It might be listening to music. It you know, there's no right answer to what it is, but just finding what it is and then treating it as sacred, and really, really understanding that you need to prioritize that, and you're never too busy for it. If you are too busy, you should probably, what is it? If you don't have time to meditate for an hour, you should meditate for 2 hours, is the kind of the joke. So yeah, treating that as sacred is kind of my little productivity hack.
That's a perfect summary at the end. If you don't have the time to meditate for 1 hour, do it for 2 hours. I can tell you, for me, the triathlon or Ironman would not be a good productivity hack. I would probably be half that, and my productivity would go down intensely. But yeah, then bringing it to the higher level, as you did, saying people should find their meditative spot or environment, I think that's a good one.
Yeah, definitely, and it just makes me a nicer person to be around as well. Yeah, cool. Makes me a happy guy. So, yeah, definitely. What about you? What's your? I'm sure you've shared yours before, but I'd just be interested personally.
It's funny that no one ever asked me back in this podcast show. So my productivity hacks are a lot of small hacks, I have to say. So I like those little tools that you have on your computer that helps you organize your work. And I'm one of the guys who also like to cluster the day in specific, let's say, episodes of phases. So I try to only answer my emails in certain times of the day, and use the other times of the day or hours of the day to just work, which is also connected to turning off as many notifications, both on my phone and my computer, as possible. So these two things combined, avoiding notification and things that can disturb you, and like structuring your day in a certain way that fits to your preferences, that's my productivity hack.
Yeah, it's great. I do a similar thing with notifications, because it's the whole, this psychology behind it is the whole endorphin rush you get from getting a notification is like the little ding, the light, the sound. It's kind of the same as kind of gambling machines, where it goes off and it's all this lights color, and you get, oh, something, someone loves me, they've sent me a message, great.
So exactly,
it's cutting out that little endorphin hit and just seeing it for what it is, which is a tool. So
definitely. And what also helped, I recently purchased my first Apple Watch, and I tried to put my phone away as far as possible, because with the watch, you still have the feeling to be connected, but it's just not as tempting to look at that little watch screen than on the big iPhone screen. So that helped a lot as well.
Well, you do know that you can track your health data on that, which is, so I use a Garmin, the same thing. So I think you're halfway to doing your first Ironman, mate.
All right. Once I've done that, I will record another episode with you and tell about my experiences, and you can interview me.
Yeah, sounds good.
Great. Thomas, that was very interesting. Thanks a lot for your time. And I'm curious about your awards and hope to meet you at one of them. Probably it will be the European one, which is happening in Berlin, the award dinner, right?
Yes. Yeah, definitely. And looking forward to having you involved as a judge as well. So I think we didn't mention that, but obviously you're very well connected in the industry. So looking forward to having you there. So.
Awesome. I would totally love to do that. For today, that's it. Like I said, thanks a lot, and wish you all the best for your project.
Thanks, mate. And if anyone listening wants to get in touch with me personally about questions, thomas@vumero.com is my email. So vumero.com. Thomas, would always like to connect. So thanks for your time, Benjamin, and looking forward to chatting again soon.
Same for you. Take care. Have a good day.
Cheers.
Cheers.